everybody. Welcome back to Open Language. This is Tara.
And this is Connor.
And today we have an intermediate lesson continuing on our office series. This one is about a warning letter.
Yeah, this is something that nobody wants, especially for managers and especially for employees.
Right. So it's something that is kind of one of the drawbacks of being a boss.
Yeah.
You have to do these things sometimes, but this lesson includes a lot of useful language that you can use in the letter.
Yeah,
itself.
So yeah, exactly. So when employees aren't doing their work or they're doing something wrong or they're not pulling their weight,
they get a
warning from their boss.
Yeah. And this is a formal letter. And we have, again, like in the rest of the Office series, Brad and Zach. And let's take a listen to their conversation.
Okay. Hey, Zach, can I ask you for some advice on writing a warning letter to an employee?
Sure. How can I help?
Well, one of my staff repeatedly comes in late and misses deadlines.
Have you met with him about the issue before?
Yes, I gave him an informal warning in May, but things haven't improved.
In that case, start off by saying the warning letter is a follow-up to your previous meeting.
Okay. Should I restate the problems?
Yes, but be aware of the language and tone you use. Focus on the issue, not the person.
Got it. How does this sound? You were advised that you were frequently late for work and have missed many project deadlines. It's expected that immediate improvement is required.
That sounds good. Also, state that it's grounds for dismissal if his performance doesn't improve.
Should I include a deadline for change?
It's up to you, but make sure you meet with the employee after you give him the warning letter to make sure he understands the issue and consequences.
Got it. Thank you for your help.
No problem. Anytime.
So, we just heard a dialogue between Brad and Zach. Brad is asking some advice to Zach about writing a warning letter.
Right. So, a letter, you know what that is.
Yeah.
And a warning is just a kind of caution.
Caution, yeah. So, a warning, like, for example, when... I think of... when you watch a movie, there's a message before the movie to turn your phone to silent mode.
Right.
That's like a warning.
That's a warning message.
To make you aware.
Yeah. And it can also be any type of siren or alarm.
Alarm,
those are all warnings that something is going wrong.
Yeah. It basically, it just means, you know, be careful.
Be careful.
Yeah.
And this is a warning letter is given... because the result can be a negative one. It can be you may lose your job if you don't pull your weight.
Yeah, right. Or if student doesn't do his homework, then the teacher may give him a warning.
Right, exactly.
So why does Brad need a warning letter?
Because one of his staff repeatedly comes in late and misses deadlines.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now there's a couple things here. Staff.
So very important with staff.
Yeah.
You never add the S.
Right.
It's never staffs.
Right. Not staffs. If you want to make a singular or a
countable
noun, you can say employees.
Right.
Yeah.
And it basically, even though it's a non-count noun, we do still say one of.
Right.
So one of my staff.
One
it's
of
kind
my
of a
staff.
Collective noun. It's like people.
It's like, people or sugar or something.
Right. Or fish. You don't add an S to those things.
Right, right. And then repeatedly. Repeatedly is a great word. I seem to think this is often used negatively.
It often is.
Yeah. So again and again.
And it's the person keeps making the same mistake over and over and over.
Yeah. My friend is repeatedly late.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or very common expression is, I've repeatedly warned you.
Yeah.
Like your parents may say that.
Yeah.
I've repeatedly told you to clean your room. So same type of thing. So a little bit harsh.
Yeah. It's kind of harsh. Yeah, for sure.
And one of the reasons is because he misses deadlines.
Yes, yes, that is one. And he's late. So then Zach asks him, well, have you met with him? Have you talked to him about this issue before? Brad says, yeah. I gave him an informal warning.
Right. This is usually warning number one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chat.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not formal. It won't go on their personnel file or their record, employee record.
Yeah, there's not going to be a report about this.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just, but, you know, the boss will make notes.
Yeah.
Just to say, cover their back and say, you know, I did talk to them already about this.
Yeah.
And, but it's informal.
Yeah. And we often talk about informal, formal with like language. Like, for example, do you want is informal, but would you like is formal. Mm-hmm. And so it is kind of polite, but he's, even though it's an informal warning, he's still being polite. It's more like it's unofficial. It's not an official warning.
It's not documented.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he's saying that things haven't improved or gotten any better.
So what advice does Zach have?
He says, start off by saying the warning letter is a follow-up to that conversation.
Yes. And here's an interesting phrasal verb, start off. This is just begin.
Basically
begin. But it's kind of like for begin working, like a first stage or a first step in something.
And it's always followed by a gerund.
Start off by doing
something. Start off by chopping your vegetables, something like that.
Yeah, you can use this for like a vacation. Start off your vacation with a massage, something like that.
So that noun or gerund. And then a follow-up. Now, I've seen this as a verb before, but here we have it as a noun.
Right, yeah. So, it can be a verb or a noun, is a follow-up. Yeah, it's like a something after you did something you want to kind of confirm.
So if you go to the doctor, for example, to do a test, you have to go back for a follow-up.
Yeah, a follow-up, like medical test.
Yeah, or just to talk with a doctor. It's round two.
Or if you do an interview, then they want to interview you again. It's like a follow-up interview.
Or you, after you have a job interview, you should make a follow-up email or follow-up call just to kind of check in with them.
Yeah, that's a great word, follow-up.
And then Brad is asking if he should restate what the problems are.
Okay, so this we see the prefix re, which means...
Again. So, and state is a very formal verb meaning say.
To say, like kind of clearly, a little... Yeah, it's formal, right?
It
yeah.
is very... The whole verb restate is formal.
Yeah. And other words that we use with re, like redo, reapply.
Yeah, it just means do again.
Again.
And Zach confirms, and he says what?
Yeah, he says yes, but be aware of the language and tone that you use.
So, right, to be aware is a great expression. It's, again, very similar to a warning. Be careful with, be aware of, meaning, I guess, think about.
And don't ignore it.
Be conscious of.
Be conscious of. That's a good one.
Yeah, and... the language and the tone. So tone is tricky here. Usually when we think about tone, it's the tone of your voice.
Yeah, like are you being really mad or are you being soft or is it high? Or like when you talk to a puppy, oh, you're so cute.
Or a baby,
Yeah, your tone changes.
Right. And so now when in writing, the tone is a little different because you can't hear something.
Right.
But it's imagining how you hear.
Yeah.
And I know for me personally, I have to be very careful when I'm texting my friends or reading their texts because it's very easy to misinterpret the tone of something.
Yeah, because there's that voice in your head when you read something and, you know, it's easy to misunderstand.
Right. Mm-hmm. So with writing, you have to be, especially in this context, you have to be very, very, very careful that you're being extra polite and extra formal.
Right. Exactly.
And he also says, focus on the issue, not the person. This is a great expression. Now, focus on the issue?
Issue is just basically problem. It's kind of a bit of a more formal way to say problem. So basically what this is, don't say things like, you did this, or you're doing this, this is bad. Say things like, oh, this is happening, and use the passive voice.
Right. Well, and you also want to acknowledge the behavior, not the person.
Right.
So not you were late. Your late arrivals.
Or
being late to work.
Oh, okay.
So more it's the not action.
It's not the person, it's the action.
Yeah, it's tends to be a little more gentle than
yeah,
some. It doesn't feel like you're criticizing the person necessarily.
Right, right. Because then the person might be a little sensitive.
And defensive.
And defensive, yeah. Like, oh, not me. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Totally. So Brad, how does he feel about that?
He understands. He's got it. And then he's going to kind of rehearse. He's going to practice, or he's got something written and he wants Zach to give his advice. So he says this, you know, you were advised that you were frequently late for work and have missed many project deadlines. This is like a sample.
This is an example of you can actually use this language if you have to write a letter.
Yeah.
And while we're here, just to make a note, there's actually going to be two different templates that you will see in the culture section.
Okey-dokey.
One is it's more structured in terms of you just put the date and the person's name and a few details. Mm-hmm. The second one requires more details.
But okey-dokey.
So just some things for you can see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first thing you said there is you were advised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, it's like we know the word advice, like to give advice. This is advise, the verb. In this case, it means, you know, warned.
Right.
Yeah.
And very importantly there, you said the word advice. Mm-hmm. So just to focus that advice has a C at the end.
Yes, good. Yeah.
And this has an S.
Yeah.
And this is a Z sound, advised.
Yeah. Advised.
As you don't want to say advised. So it's a Z sound.
Mm-hmm. It also kind of means you were informed.
Yeah.
Yeah, we told you.
I warned you pretty much.
Yeah.
And he was advised that he was often or frequently late for work and that he has missed many project deadlines.
Okay, this is the big one, deadlines. This is the latest time that you can complete or submit something.
Right. So if your boss or your teacher says to you, you need to submit this by Monday morning at 9 o'clock, Monday morning at 9 o'clock is the deadline. The cutoff is also another word we will use.
Yeah, we often say cutoff, yeah. So after that time, you cannot, it's late. After
it's
that,
late.
It's late. Yeah.
So even if there may be a consequence, you know, even if they do accept it.
Common things are job applications, university applications, business reports.
Anything with a set time.
A time, yeah.
Now, Brad also continues to say that it's expected immediate improvement is required. So this is a very formal statement.
So formal, yeah. If you talk. Okay, please don't talk like this to your friends.
I expect you to be on time.
Yeah, no. You are expected. No.
There will be an argument.
Yeah, right.
And again, you have to be careful of your tone. But if something is expected of you, you must do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's kind of the passive voices, like, it means we expect you to, or you have to.
But it's not as aggressive.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's basically just a responsibility.
Mm-hmm, yeah. If you want to work here, you should do this.
And
you have to do this.
You are also, as an adult, you are expected to pay your bills.
Yeah. You're expected to pay your taxes, your bills.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you don't, there's problems.
And that immediate improvement, this is pretty intense.
Immediate, yeah.
Immediate improvement.
It's a strong word.
It is. Yeah. When you're adding immediate to something afterwards, it means do it now.
Yeah, right now. Not in 5 minutes, do it immediately, right now.
I need to see some improvement right away. Mm-hmm. And not because in this case, this employee has already been warned.
Yeah.
And nothing's been getting better.
Right.
So
it's
kind of, this is the cutoff.
This is time.
Enough is enough.
Time to get better, yeah. Oh, and ASAP. What about ASAP? There?
Oh, right. Yeah. ASAP. Now, ASAP, all capital letters. Mm-hmm. It's an acronym. This one really kind of gets my dander up. If you say to a person, I will do this ASAP, that's fine.
Yeah.
If someone says it to you, do this ASAP, that's very aggressive.
Yeah. So you got to be careful with ASAP. Yeah.
Yeah.
ASAP.
Yeah. If you say it, that you're going to do something, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It just means, okay, I'm sorry, I'm going to do it right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if someone says it to you, I'm probably going to go a little bit slower just because that's me.
Yeah. So what does Zach think of all this?
Well, he thinks it sounds good.
Yeah.
But he says that Brad should also state that it's grounds for dismissal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So state, again, we saw this before, to say clearly, you know, in a formal way,
And this is a great, there's two kind of parts to this expression here, grounds for and dismissal. So grounds for is our grammar point, to let you know for this week. It just means the reason you have cause to do something.
Yeah, the reason.
You're justified.
It's not a, it's not a unjustified decision. It's we're doing this because you relate a lot.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And dismissal, it just means being fired.
Yes, dismissal is a fancy way to say fired, or often we say let go.
Yes, if you want to be, you know, you can say, you don't want to say I was dismissed from my job.
Yeah, I was let go.
I was let go, because there could be lots of reasons.
Yeah.
Usually when you use dismiss, it's in this context of a job, it's about you've done something bad.
Yeah, yeah. And just be careful. This word can also be used in a different way for like classes. Like the class is dismissed. The students are dismissed. That means they can go.
Right. And it's not a bad thing. It's actually an exciting thing.
Yeah, because you can go.
You can go home. But when it comes to a job, a dismissal is a negative thing. So after that, basically Brad and Zach go back and forth, and Brad asks if there should be a deadline, and Zach says,
no,
it's your choice, it's
your
up
choice.
To you. But, you know, make sure you meet with the employee you give the warning letter to make sure that he understands the issues and the consequences.
This is a super useful word. It's both formal and informal. You can use it with your friends or your boss. And it just means the result of some action. And
usually it's a negative result.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So we use the expression the consequence of your consequences of your actions.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a consequence is if you steal something, you go to jail.
Yeah, yeah, the consequence. If you make a mistake, there are consequences. Even if it's just an accident, there are always consequences.
Yeah. Like if you forget to pay your rent, there's a consequence. So con means against, and sequence is the order. So against the order. So there's something that is going to happen against you. Again, like I said, it's usually negative.
So then Brad, he says, got it, I understand, and thanks him for his help. So let's take a listen to this dialogue one more time.
Excellent.
Hey, Zach, can I ask you for some advice on writing a warning letter to an employee?
Sure. How can I help?
Well, one of my staff repeatedly comes in late and misses deadlines.
Have you met with him about the issue before?
Yes, I gave him an informal warning in May, but things haven't improved.
In that case, start off by saying the warning letter is a follow-up to your previous meeting.
Okay. Should I restate the problems?
Yes. But be aware of the language and tone you use. Focus on the issue, not the person.
Got it. How does this sound? You were advised that you were frequently late for work and have missed many project deadlines. It's expected that immediate improvement is required.
That sounds good. Also, state that it's grounds for dismissal if his performance doesn't improve.
Should I include a deadline for change?
It's up to you. But make sure you meet with the employee after you give him the warning letter to make sure he understands the issue and consequences.
Got it. Thank you for your help.
No problem. Anytime.
Okay, so we just heard Brad and Zach talking again about this warning letter. And this lesson is really great because not only does this lesson have a lot of useful language like dismissal and consequences and deadlines, it's also got some great ideas in there that if you are a boss or a manager, these are some things that you can actually use in your warning letters, which hopefully you don't have to write. But just in case you do, they're there for you.
Yeah. And to all those of you who are in the workforce, whether you're a boss or you're a lower level employee, we want to know, have you ever received a warning letter, or you can be honest, it's okay. Or have you ever had to give a warning letter to somebody?
Right. And how did you feel on both sides of that?
Yeah. How did you feel? How did you deal with it?
And, and you know, if you did receive one, was your boss respectful and did they, were they careful of their tone and their language or did they just attack?
Yeah. Were they just attacking aggressive?
Yeah. So let us know what you think about this lesson. And if you have any comments, we look forward to reading them.
Okay. Have a great day.
Take care.